giants were often filled by pebbles. The two Filipinos talked about sailing into Avalon Bay for another desalination filter, but the risk of being discovered, especially considering their almost non-existent English, was too great. Jay and Miguel spoke endlessly about God's will while crossing the ocean and then fishing off the coast of Catalina. Would Allah really want them to sacrifice their lives if it wasn't necessary? Based on their time in Catalina, it didn't seem like Americans worried much about the coming and going of sailboats on their waters. Over 4 months, the two men received nothing more than hearty waves from other boaters. Perhaps they could sail into Long Beach Harbor, tie up their sailboat, set the bomb to explode, then walk into America. Surely there were other Filipino Muslims in America who would shelter them. They even discussed how to build a time delay device for the bomb. They pulled the crate below decks apart, only to find that the bomb was a steel box with a single green button. The box had been welded shut, and the men hadn't brought any tools capable of cutting steel. The button protruded through the metal box and through the slats in the crate. Their instructions had been simple. Sail into Long Beach Harbor and press the button. They talked about a time delay device where a candle could burn through a rope and release a hammer to swing into the button. The contraption could give them a few minutes to get clear of the bomb. If they ran, they might make it. They didn't know how big the explosion would be, nor did they know if a hammer strike would sufficiently depress the button without breaking it. Of course, it could not be tested in advance. The men eventually set their time delay idea aside and put the decision in the hands of Allah. They listened to American radio as they fished, talking into the evening about how a sign from Allah might appear. The sickness had them both concerned. Their daily defecations into the ocean were audible from everywhere on the boat, and they agreed the sickness was worsening, compelling them to relieve themselves more often. Time grew short. 2 weeks ago, Mangrate Province, Afghanistan. Jeff Kirkham's adrenaline spiked before he even knew why. His subconscious, recognizing the white-blue trail of a rocket-propelled grenade as it whistled into his column of trucks, the low growl of a PKM machine gun, and a swarm of AK-47s joined the chorus as the battlefield roared to life. This had been the wrong place to drop Overwatch, and it had been Jeff's bad call. He rocked forward, squinting through the filthy windshield, hoping he wasn't seeing what he was seeing. Some of his best men were in the Corolla, still the lead vehicle, and they were hanging away out in the wind. Jeff rode in the passenger seat of the command truck toward the back of the column with his shorty AK wedged between his butt and the door. Only the medical truck lagged behind them. Endless hours of experience and training kicked in, and Jeff launched from his seat, slamming the passenger door forward, pinning it with his boot to keep it from bouncing back. He cleared his rifle and rolled out of the truck, scrambling for cover behind the rear axle. None of their vehicles offered much in the way of cover, and their best way was to fight through the ambush. Getting everyone turned around and moving back the way they had come wasn't an option. As soon as Jeff reached the rear of the column, he ran into Wakil, a tall, sinewy Afghan from the Panjshir Valley. They had worked together for years. In broken Dari, Jeff ordered Wakil to gather his squad for a flanking maneuver. Wakil chattered into his radio, and within a few moments the assault squad piled up behind the medical truck, ready to roll. Jeff didn't remember the Dari word for flank, so he just stabbed a knife hand up to the left. His Afghani assaulters knew what to do, and they were hot to fight. The 12 of them, including Jeff, sprinted up the closest ravine, working to gain altitude so they could drop down on the Taliban-infested ridgeline. As he pounded up the hill, Jeff could see the Corolla getting mauled in the middle of the bowl. One glance at the car told Jeff he would have men to mourn when the dust settled. At 43 years of age, it almost didn't matter how fit Jeff was. Running straight up a mountain in body armor at 7,000 feet made him feel like a lung was going to pop out of his mouth. He had been born with the furthest thing from a runner's physique. Between his Irish genes and 1,000 hours on the weight bench, Jeff could fight eyeball to eyeball with a silverback gorilla. He had no neck, a foot-thick chest, huge arms and thighs the size of tree trunks. Like most of the Special Forces operators getting on in age, Jeff didn't mind a bit of a belly bulge sticking over his waistband. His enormous upper body mass and the belly bulge added to dead weight, though, when running up a mountain in Afghanistan in the middle of a